Good morning.
I want to thank Gary for that long reading. Today's parable, will be the last parable, the last one that we're going to study for a while. One needs a rest, even from good things sometimes. So next week we're going to begin a series that will be a short series about the different people at the base of the cross when Jesus was crucified. But today we're going to look at this very familiar parable, the workers in the vineyard, taken from Matthew, the 20th chapter. And this is tucked in between two conversations by Jesus on the fairness of life. I'd like to read the verses, just a few verses prior to this. In the 19th chapter, he's been talking about what it takes to be a disciple. And in verse 27, Peter says to him, "Well, behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you that you who have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." We'll read the second one perhaps at the end of our discussion if we have time. But most often when we study this particular parable, there are two main points that we get out of it. And the first, kind of a traditional point, is about the timing of our service to God. And that with God, it's not about how long you've been a worker in this kingdom, but rather the importance of being there in his service when the day is over. And that's a very encouraging and comforting thought if you're trying to share the gospel with an unbeliever that is advanced in their years, getting on close to the end of their life, where it might be easy to say, "Well, I've wasted, you know, my whole life. It's too late." And so the point is, well, it's never too late, but there is a problem that we could incur if we think that way for the wrong reason. The note of caution that goes with that position is the caution that one does not deliberately put off making a commitment to God, making a commitment to service to God for as long as possible, but instead enjoying the pleasures of sin, doing all the things that are fun in the world, and putting off that commitment until the very last. And then from this parable, assuming because of the graciousness of God, he'll say, "Well, that's okay. Come on in, and everything is fine." Well, he might do that. I mean, I'm not arguing that point. The point that I'm trying to make is you don't know when the end of the day is coming. We don't know when the closing hour is going to be in our life. And so you might be betting, and it's not good to bet against God. If you're betting that, "Well, I will jump in and serve God because I really know I should, but I want to go ahead and do this first," We don't have that guarantee that we are going to be able to do that. And if our day should end before we've made that commitment, then the opportunity to work in God's vineyard will be gone and lost. And the second point I think that we usually pull from this is about the gracious love of God, how His grace extends to all people, and the fairness of salvation. We read this parable, and we watch the story unfold, and then when the last one that was hired receives the same as the first one that was hired, we want to, I mean, there's a part of us down inside that is saying, not fair, God, not fair. You know, it's that carnal, human part of us that says, that's not fair. And even when the compensation is explained, as Gary just read in verses 13 through 16, he says, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go, but I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Well, that's explained, but there's still this little bitty voice sometimes that still whispers, well, I still don't think it's fair, you know? But then the verse that follows, the discussion about this landowner's grace, being God, and the generosity his generosity and man's stinginess in that verse 15 says, is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? So here we are reminded of the sovereignty of God and that He can do with what is His. And by the way, everything is His. He can do with whatever He wants to with what is His. So then these two are usually the theological points that we discuss when we're looking at the parable of the vineyard. But this morning I'd like to add one more element within this parable for your consideration. And it has to do with the blessing of work and the time of enjoyment doing that work. Not about how long you work, not about how much you get paid, but the time spent in work. When I was in college, I had a lab professor, a very commanding, tall plant pathologist from Fort Detrick, Maryland. And there he had been involved in biological warfare. He was an interesting guy. He had the refrigerator in the office, and then one side of the refrigerator were all of the vials of the diseases, and the other side was his sack lunch. But I guess he knew what he was doing. But we developed an enjoyable working relationship together. And one day I was complaining about my parents and my little brother, who was 10 years younger at the time. Actually, he's still 10 years younger. But then he was very definitely 10 years younger. And I mentioned that it just didn't seem fair that he got to do so many things and got to go to so many places, and have certain things at a much younger age than I had ever gotten to do or been able to go or see or whatever. And it seemed like he got out of a lot more work than his older siblings did. And I just didn't think that was fair. Dr. Willis says, well, maybe it's your parents' way of evening things out. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, both of your parents are going to die, aren't they? Well, yeah. Well, when they do, at some point they will, and when they do, even if you and your brother receive the same inheritance, you will have been blessed with 10 more years with your parents than him. 10 more years of eating meals together. 10 more years of working on the farm or in the greenhouse. 10 more years of memories of things that you've done that he will never have. 10 more years of Christmases and celebrations of birthdays and other things. 10 more years than he will ever have had. And so even though your inheritance may be the same, the wealth of your days with them is far greater. And that stuck with me. Not thinking about this at the time, but when I was putting this little thought together, it did remind me of that conversation. And so I wondered, well, is there a spiritual application with respect to that conversation in our parable of the workers in the vineyard? And I think there is. For those who begin their service in the Lord's vineyard at a very early age, there is the joy of anticipation of the reward for many years longer than those who come to know Jesus late in life. Anticipation is a good thing. It is, well, sometimes it's as good or better than you know, what you actually end up with. But to anticipate something that is good, and here we get to do that for many years longer than someone that just starts late in life. The earlier we begin service in the Lord's kingdom, the sooner and the longer we feel the peace of knowing that our sins have been washed away. Would you want to trade years of that peace in for just a very short time of knowing that, knowing all of the rest of your life that you're separated from God? For those who have toiled many years in the Lord's kingdom, you have been blessed with the knowledge and the wisdom needed when someone comes to you and says, I need your help. My marriage is falling apart. My kids are out of control. My neighbor's giving me grief. Whatever the problem is, because of those added years of service in God's kingdom, you're better equipped with the Word of God to help that person with her or his problem. The longer you're a child of God working in his vineyard, the more brothers and sisters you acquire, and you have the privilege of knowing and loving and working with. The longer you're in service, the longer the opportunity to share the grace of the Master with other friends and loved ones, families and neighbors. The worth of the day is not only measured by the compensation at the end of the day, but also the joy found within the work of each and every day. And that's something that we need to really work on. People don't seem to enjoy work anymore. We now look at it as though it's a drudgery. We work to get the compensation, not just to buy food, clothing, and shelter, but stuff. And it gives us a different perspective of what God intended work to be about. I taught school for 36 years. Only a very few days did I go to work. And it was because I enjoyed what I was doing. And if you do that, you are in service, not in work. And as Christians, we need to be in service to God. Because if we think that doing this and everything that we are commanded to do is work, then you'll be grumbling if you get to heaven. Well, God, He didn't do this or that, and I did all of that, and I did, and I did, because you've been working for God instead of serving God. And that's a big difference. I've still got 2 minutes. I've run short. Let's see. Nah. Oh, okay, what we'll do. That second little part where this is tucked in between. The mother of James and John, they come to Jesus and they say, she says, I got a favor. He says, what do you want? She says, when the kingdom all comes in, I want my boys to sit on either side of you. And he says, that's not for me to say. That's for God to say. And then you read on down, and the rest of the disciples are listening, or apostles. Verse 24, and hearing this, the 10 became indignant with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So when we think that life is treating us unfairly, think about Jesus. When it seems like we're having to work a lot harder for what we get out of it, think about Jesus. Think about the reward and the pleasure and the privilege of serving a God who sent his only Son and who was willing to give his life that we might have that reward when this life is over. Brother Chris was down for the prayer. I'll go ahead and dismiss us, and then we'll go to our class. Dear Father, thank you so much for this beautiful Lord's Day. We thank you for the shower that we've received. We thank you for all the many blessings that come from you each and every day. We'd ask that you be with us through this hour of worship. May our hearts be attuned to your word. May we enjoy this time together as brothers and sisters, and as we remember the great sacrifice of your Son. Be with us now as we go to our classes to study, and then be with us as we leave this place and give us safe travels to our homes. These favors we ask in your Son's name. Amen.